superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
Aha! Hit the drop.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mike, do your job.
I don't have everything ready.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host David Sampson, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, 11-year NBA veteran Jamal Mashburn, former MLB manager and World Series champion Terry Francona. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's David Sampson.
Get it.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Yes, it's true. You're looking at David Sampson. Happy to be here. Getting into hour two here. And lucky enough, I want to bring him on immediately because I was so excited to talk to Jamal Mashburn. Can you enter our show so we can talk to you about so many things that are in my mind? How are you, Jamal? Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. How you doing?
I appreciate your time. That is for sure. I was the president of the Marlins. We met, and I'm sure that you absolutely don't remember, and I'm not going to make you to pretend that you do because it's so uncomfortable when someone says that. But when I was with the Marlins, you were with the Heat, and you were gracious enough to spend some time with me, and we got to talk about some baseball and some basketball. But I want to fast forward because I am – more fascinated, unbelievable career you had on the court. And we could talk about your son on the court. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about your post-playing career because you are an example of someone. So many athletes I've dealt with, their post-career has really been a problem and they have not been able to get it together. And people have this feeling that every player can retire when they're done playing and be rich as can be for life. And you and I both know it's a tiny percentage of players who make life-changing money. What would you say, and I don't want to ask for a top five list, what's the number one thing that you have done post-playing career that you try to talk to players about saying, look, this is how to do it?
You know what? Thank you for the compliment. I think for me, the thing that I kind of share with guys is, you know, in your particular sport, it was a process to get to the high level of that particular sport. You had to practice, you had to go through certain process and everything like that. In the case of basketball, you know, middle school, high school, AAU, college, and then eventually getting drafted. But that doesn't happen for a lot of folks. So I tell the modern day professional athlete that they have to operate the same way as they try to pursue their particular dream in the next endeavor in life. And that's really come down the ladder of your career, start at and build another foundation and educate yourself. And I've always been a big believer that you should always be a student athlete and be a student athlete in life, essentially always learning. And I think the biggest thing for professional athletes is that you realize your dream at the early part of the years of your life. And there's a lot more life to be led and a lot more life to be lived. And, you have to prepare yourself for that and educate yourself for that. So I'm big into education in that particular field and endeavor that you want to get involved in, and really start from the bottom and work your way up as you did as a as an athlete aspiring to be a professional athlete.
I love the dream concept that you just said, because in my life, I've achieved so many different dreams in different areas. I never understood the concept of, hey, you get one dream and if you achieve it, that's it. You're done. Like you've capped your life at 25 years old. Another thing that fans don't get and many members of the media don't understand, the age of players when their career ends. In the real world, you're just starting. In the athletic world, you're finishing and you have this view that you're old. Earlier today, while you were watching me sit in for Rich Eisen, we were talking about Father Time and LeBron James. And you would think that I was talking about LeBron as though he were an octogenarian. And in fact, he's really young and his entire business career could just be starting. So in your post-playing career, how many dreams have you accomplished and what's your next dream?
You know what, Dave, that's a great question. I've accomplished, I want to say, I'm probably a third of the dreams that I've accomplished. And
amazing.
You know, one thing about me is that I'm a builder at the end of the day. And what I mean by that is that, you know, once I see something, I want to continue to build on top of that, you know, and it's almost like a Lego set for me. You start to build a foundation and then you continue to build and you look around and you have a 30-story building, you know what I mean, that you architected and that you built from the ground up, and you have intimate knowledge of each floor. So for me, it's to continue to grow in the car business, the automobile business. We're Lexus and Toyota dealers throughout the country. And it's also important for me to bring my kids involved in that particular business so that they can look at it from the inception. And also for my son, you know, he's playing basketball, but I often tell him, you know, at the end of the day, we know that's going to end. It's either by choice or by somebody else's choice that you're not good enough. So what are you going to do now? So I challenge him often to really figure out what he wants to do now. If that's come into my business or to do something outside of that. And my daughter as well, she's been enfolded into my business. She's 27 years old. And so she works for me in a lot of different areas. So for me, I'm still dreaming and I'm still trying to chase dreams as well. And I think at this particular point, let me use the word not chase, but I kind of let things kind of flow towards me, David, if you know what I mean, you know. So it's just kind of for me, I just want to continue to be the best possible version of myself. My mother would have wanted that for me. She always taught me to have a big dream, to have a vision, go beyond of what your thought process is. There's more out there for you. So I never looked at sports as the end all, the be all. I thought it was a stepping stone to more beautiful dreams and to meet great people and to learn from great people and learn from experiences.
I can only imagine how proud your mother would be when she thinks about what you're doing with the colorectal cancer awareness campaign. And you never know what's going to happen in life. And I never thought that I'd be involved in lung cancer. And then my sister died of it. So all of a sudden, I'm involved in lung cancer, and that is how things work. And what you've done, I'd like you to tell us and tell Rich's amazing audience, because to me, it's better than being able to be a professional athlete, what you've done in this regard.
Yeah, I think professional sports are a tool to access other individuals that probably wouldn't have access to you. And it's a tool to share your story, your personal story, not just statistics or your accomplishments, but also share the human side of you. So I've teamed up with Exact Sciences and the Blue Hat Foundation to get people 45 and older to get screened from colon cancer. And why that's near and dear to my heart is that, you know, at the height of my MBA career in 2001, my mom was diagnosed with colon cancer. I was making an all-star team and I was riding high on that side of it. And then my mom, and I'm an only child, she was dealing with the disease that she didn't know much about. My mom at the time carried 200 pounds around like it was nothing. She was 5'11". And when I saw her in the hospital, she was 110 pounds. So you can only imagine what that did for me psychologically, and then have to go out there and perform on the court. It was really, really difficult. So, you know, I challenge people to go get screened who are 45 years and older. It's something that my mom experienced. Remission for 18 years. She eventually passed away from a heart issue pre-COVID in February of 2020.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, but she lived a great life. She was 78 years old. She gave me core values. She gave me access to New York City, where I grew up, born and raised in Harlem. She used to take me downtown all the time and expose me to a lot of different things. And, you know, my first passion was Major League Baseball. And I was a huge Yankee fan and a huge Dave Winfield fan. So I used to go to Yankee Stadium right across the bridge from Harlem and
He's
watch
one of the
those
nicest
games.
Hall of Famers, Jamal, of all time. Dave Winfield. You've had a chance to meet him?
I got a chance to meet Dave on a couple of occasions, and I went up to him and I said, "Dave, you don't know what an impact you had on my life." And he was like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Dave, you know, I wanted to be you, but not necessarily the baseball player, but the integrity and in what you presented on and off the field. That's what I wanted to be."
It's so
And
binary when you meet your heroes, right? Because either they're really amazing, you're like, all right, I chose a good one, or they're super grumpy and they don't want to talk to you, and you're like, I loved you, and now I don't even like you. Dave
you
Winfield, you
know,
chose a good one.
I chose a good one, and he was kind, and I spent some time with him, hours with him after that, and I was still in awe by how gracious he was, and he was consistent, in my opinion, not only as a baseball player, but as a human being. So for me, it's always been about my mom and her legacy, and that's why I decided to participate in this campaign to bring my personal story to it. And not only just talk about the disease, and that is colon cancer is the most preventable but least prevented cancer, but to really chat about, also not just the patient or the potential patient, but also the people around, the caregiver, the supporters, and what they go through as well, because a lot of people don't talk about that. And I'm a big believer in getting screened early, especially at 45, because it's better to know than not to know.
It's always better to know and not to know. One of the things that we want to know about, transition alert, is the NBA. They didn't have the play-in tournament when you were around. And the play-in tournament is, hey, how do we get more important games at the end and try to make it more exciting for TV partners to get more money that we can then spread out to players and ourselves? I'm all in exciting games, getting anyone to play. I always laugh at load management because you would, if you could, you'd play 83 games a year. I cannot imagine you sitting out ever. What do you think of the play-in tournament? Are you a fan because it keeps more teams in, or do you think that we're rewarding mediocrity?
That's a good question, because I was watching something other day, and the commentator said, "Can you really believe that we're talking about somebody being in 10th place and talking about the playoffs?" You know what I mean? Or them potentially being in the playoffs. And I think it's good for the game in a sense that, you still have teams that can still potentially be good teams, and maybe they were impacted by injuries by a key player throughout the early part of the season, and the key player gets back, so they have an opportunity to actually participate in a route to the playoffs, not necessarily win a championship. We'll see how long it lasts, you know what I mean, and interest and everything like that, especially from the player standpoint and also from the viewer standpoint. And now that you got gambling involved in all of this, I think it really impacts the game and the money that's a part of the game as well. But I think that's something we all have to watch, because the intersection and the conversation and the relationship between the fan and the bettor, and also the player, I think that can get contentious at some point. So
Well, you're seeing more players talk about it. You saw PJ Tucker. You see players saying, listen, I don't like hearing from fans that I need to hit another three-pointer, and then they're angry when we're up 12 and we only win by 10 and the line is 11. I think the leagues, it's changed a lot since you and I were there. The fact is, they're in bed with gambling and with the gambling companies, and these are part of the growing pains because it's not going anywhere. And so thinking that it will is a fool's folly. So the question is, what can change, or how will it evolve? And the thing is about individual prop bets, can you imagine while you were playing thinking about where your prop bet number was and hearing, because players always say that they don't hear the fans, but I know for a fact, of course they do. You can hear what people are yelling at you on the court. I can only imagine what your reaction would be to someone being unhappy with your number of rebounds or points in a game, but also understanding from a business side why the NBA is calling it the Emirates Play-In Tournament. There's so much money now that it's unavoidable, Jamal.
It's unavoidable, and the part that kind of that makes it kind of difficult is, you know, I have a son that plays in college basketball as well, and he's entered in the transfer portal. You know, he gets direct messages sometimes from fans who are talking about he screwed up their parlay or whatever it is and different things like that. And that's unfortunate for kids to be dealing with it, but let's call it what it is. College sports has become professional sport and has been for a long period of time. But we just have this tie to amateurism in our colleges and our relationship to that college and also the kids and different things like that. But it's been professional sports. And, you know, players do hear what fans have to say and different things like that. We try to tune certain things out for sure. As you're out there on that court or the field or anything like that. But, you know, we'll see where it shakes out at, you know, amongst fans and different things like that when betting is concerned. But it's a big generator, revenue generator for the league, you know,
Is your
and
son in the portal, Jamal, because he's looking for free agency? Is he looking for a different deal, better situation, more playing time? Did he talk to you before going in the portal? Tell us about that.
yeah, he chatted with me about that before going into the portal. You know, he was at University of Minnesota with Richard Pitino. And then Richard got fired at University of Minnesota, and 24 hours later got the University of New Mexico job. And Jay jumped in the transfer portal and then followed him to New Mexico, which I thought was the right decision at that particular time for him and his development. What he's searching for now is that, you know, he wants to continue to develop as a player, as a basketball player. He's done all he could at the University of New Mexico. He's top 10 in their all-time scoring list. They went to the NCAA tournament the first time in 10 years. So he's accomplished all he needed to accomplish. I think he wants to continue to develop as a player and to see what his potential pro opportunities are after he develops after next year. So he'll be a grad transfer. He'll graduate from the University of New Mexico,
That's
enjoy his time
fantastic.
there. And, you know, he's a hard worker. Who knows if he'll be at the NBA or overseas or what that looks like for him in the future. But I will tell you one thing, that he's going to put his best foot forward and work as hard as he possibly can, and has done that since he was, I want to say, 9 years old, trying to reach his dream. So, you know, it's not NIL driven. He didn't accept NIL money at the University of New Mexico last year. So it's not anything of that. It's just a matter of him wanting to find a better situation that helps him develop moving forward so that he can be a professional basketball player in the future.
Hey, Jamal, good to talk with you. It's Chris. Let's hit the way back for a second. It's been 30 years since you played in the Final Four against the Fab Five. Can you just reflect on what you remember from that game, those days, and you know, Kentucky's run back then when you were a player?
Wow, it's been that long. Well, man. Okay. Well. Thanks for putting me in that box there. But anyway, you know, let me see if I can recall. You know, for me, it was the Final Four, and if you remember the Kentucky story at that particular time, you know, the year before we had lost in that Duke Kentucky game when Christian Laettner hit the shot. A lot of people think that is one of the best college basketball games ever played. We were coming off of probation, so that was our first time in the tournament. And then the next year, we went to the Final Four and played against the Fab Five in New Orleans. And I remember playing against Chris Webber and Juwan Howard. I've known Chris Webber since high school, and also Jalen Rose as well. They were just a little bit too dominant for us in the interior side of it. But to me, it was the next progression for Kentucky basketball. As far as this rebuilding is concerned, you know, myself and Coach Pitino and a lot of other players, you know, chose to go to University of Kentucky when, at least my freshman year, where you couldn't go to the NCAA tournament. So I took a risk and a chance on not only University of Kentucky, but also on Rick Pitino at that particular time, to follow him. And it worked out really well for me. Getting to the Final Four, and then eventually them winning the championship in '96. And I felt just as much a part of that championship because I was a part of, or at least a big building block for that particular program rebuilding itself.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you a question, but I want to mention again what you're doing, the partnership with Exact Sciences, with the Blue Hat Foundation. trying to get people to get screened, and I'm with you. Get screened. 45 and over, do it. It is totally preventable colon cancer, but you have to get screened. And Jamal Mashburn has been trying to do that in honor of his mother, and I assume you will continue to do that.
Yes.
Because this is a fight that will not end. And before I let you go, is there any part of you when you see Bronny declare for the draft and enter the portal, do you want to lace it up and get on the court with your son?
So it's funny you said that. It's me and my son have this running thing, and it's something that I said to him. Hey, after your college career is over and you're turning pro, we're going to play one-on-one. And we're not going to play one-on-one where, you know, I'm the old guy backing you down to the basket and you know, shooting sky hooks. No, we're going to actually play one-on-one. So I play actually 3 times a week. I'm getting back in shape to live up to my commitment to play him one-on-one at that particular time. I have no doubt that it will be competitive, and I have no doubt that he would probably beat me. But it will be a closed session, no cameras, anything like that. And it would only be between me and him who would be declared the winner.
And you know that there's a risk of tearing your Achilles.
You know, that's why I'm out here. I'm moving slowly towards getting in shape. You know what I mean? I'm moving slowly, you know? So
I love it.
I'm trying to avoid that.
Jamal, I appreciate your time. I appreciate talking to you and what you're doing for the awareness. So keep going, as we will here. We'll speak to you again soon. Thanks, Jamal.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mash. Be well.
We too. Bye-bye.
Mash.
That's great.
You just put that right in there. Like,
Mash.
That means you know him well.
Like, we're longtime friends.
Right. Has he ever met you?
Like Sammy.
Yeah, but to me, you can call me that. It's my nickname, and we've worked together now for approximately, you know, 4 hours and 20 minutes. Mark, Mash, you just dropped after 20 minutes with him?
I mean,
Mash has been in my life. Yeah. We've been together, you know, metaphysically for 30-plus years.
Years. Creepy. And years.
You know what I mean?
You know, we watched Kentucky back in the day, you know?
I have a specific note that you can't call him Mash. It was part of my prep for the show.
Well, that's you. I think that was a you thing.
Oh, that's just a me thing?
Well, let me text him since I have
Oh, what a flex.
I'm just kidding.
Of course. I was about to call your bluff. I was going to ask you to share the contact.
Oh, I'd have to run that by. I'd have to get clearance, like from Curb a couple weeks ago. I have to get clearance before, you know what I mean? Like, you got to reach out and be like, hey, is it all right if I
You need Mashburn clearance, as Larry David you know what I mean? Tell you. You need that clearance.
You cannot share my contact with anybody.
You can't just give someone else's number.
I'm not giving you clearance. I'm giving you advance non-clearance. Unless it's Mash. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're going to break, David.
That's why I'm thanking you. I want you to stop talking.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak a peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got a ticketer, looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
We've been promising him, and he is here. Actor Paul Rudd, who is now here in full Kansas City Royals white baseball uniform. with the special gold trim. It's his opening day gear.
Wow.
And a Royals hat.
No glove.
No glove. Run on the back, 42. Yep. And are those shades from the...
They're from Karl Lagerfeld.
Is this Kansas City Royals issued? Did you get the... I mean, because you got the belt. You got the shoes. Do you have the stirrups?
I have stirrups.
Okay.
I have stirrups. I forgot to pack them.
Or did TSA stop you?
They said, sir, yeah.
You can't go with the royal blue stirrups.
You're not allowed to take toothpaste.
If you'd only put it in the plastic bag.
Yeah, bottled water and stirrups.
Come on, tell everybody who sent you this. Tell everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
The jersey?
Yeah.
My mom.
Your mom sent it to
you. My mom sent it to me for
my
birthday.
That's awesome. Okay. Come on, man.
Thanks, Mom.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Walking around. I just walk around the studio space. Explore the studio space. There's Paul Rudd right behind me with the sunglasses. Just freak people out. Is there? Can we raise the blinds here? So there's Paul. Paul just going back there.
Just walk into the cafeteria like that and see what happens.
There he is, just staring at people as they're going about their business on the campus here at AT&T in his full-on white Kansas City Royals jersey.
Does this affect the flair?
Yeah, this is a flair situation, but there you go. People are looking right in there and saying, wow, what is Paul Rudd doing just chilling out there? There you go. Get down there, Paul. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm actually sitting, right at the Rich Eisen Show desk. That's me. Furnished by Grainger. I'm David Sampson. Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call them. Click Grainger.com or... even better if you're old school. Stop by.
David, before we get to what's more likely, you were an exec for, 16, 17 years?
18 seasons, yes.
I don't want to shortchange you.
It's okay.
What's your greatest piece of memorabilia?
I've got a pretty extensive memorabilia collection. My greatest piece of memorabilia is Josh Beckett's glove from the World Series with a game-used ball from the World Series. He kept the ball that ended that World Series.
I would say he made the final out. It's kind of an undramatic ending to the World Series.
Oh, it was dramatic.
No, I'm saying it was just in terms of a play. It's a comebacker to him, and he tags.
He pitched a complete game shutout, and he got to make the last out. There's no more dramatic end to a World Series than that.
In terms of a highlight-type play to end a game, it's literally just he just makes the play and tags the guy before he gets
a comebacker in Yankee Stadium against the favored Yankees. While Jeter and Torrey are despondent beyond repair, and he tags him out and jumps for joy, is one of the most dramatic moments in baseball history.
I understand because you're personally involved, but in terms of the television product, okay, never mind. You have that glove?
So I have one of his World Series gloves, not the one that he actually wore. He never took the ball out of the glove. And to this day, I actually just spoke to him last night.
Can we FaceTime Josh Beckett right now?
He could take it.
He's probably hunting.
He is a hunter.
Yeah.
But we could call him live right now because he's not sleeping. But last night we were talking about the World Series and we were talking about the game now and how it's a bit different. And now he's happy to be retired.
One of the best big game pitchers ever.
Because that was a very big game. Very dramatic how it ended. My favorite piece of memorabilia, however... I have, and this is a terrible, I can't say. I have stuff from Ichiro's 3,000th hit.
Who's got the ball?
He was, the actual ball, I believe, went to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Ichiro's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
As he should. He's amazing.
It's been 5 years. This is a very big moment for Ichiro.
Oh, it's been 5 years.
It's going to be this January, so less than a year is when we will find out.
He's a lock. Is he going to be the first unanimous player?
This is, Mariano Rivera is the first pitcher, and the question is, will he be the first position player to ever go in unanimously?
Because whoever the idiot was that didn't vote for Ken Griffey Jr. should have his vote taken away.
I don't want to ever say that people who don't vote the way you want should lose their vote. I don't like that position.
If you are a supposed follower of baseball and a member of the Writers Association, and you watched Ken Griffey Jr. play his whole career and thought, nope, not a first ballot Hall of Famer, you shouldn't have a vote. I think that's, we could unequivocally say that.
I would unequivocally not say that, only in that I think that when you have a vote, however you vote is personal to you, and I disagree. Ken Griffey should have been unanimous, there's no doubt, but I don't want to take away his vote for that. I think that's vote shaming.
It just proves you're a moron.
No, there's a lot of things that prove that, but vote
not
shaming.
Not voting Ken Griffey on the first ballot proves you're a moron.
Those are very strong words.
Well, David,
I thought everything was going well, TJ.
Play a game where you have to take a stand. I draw a line in the sand, and you have to pick a side.
I'll take a stand.
There's no fence straddling, and what's more likely?
Have we just met?
What?
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
I didn't mean to get too aggressive, but I do think in a slightly less aggressive tone, that person should not have a vote.
There's nothing worse when you're arguing with someone than when you pretend that it matters to you, and then once it ends, you sort of walk it back.
Stay aggressive. Well, I'm not walking it back. I'm walking back my tone. I don't want the YouTube commenters to get mad. First off, hey, everybody. Happy Friday.
Hey.
How are you?
What up?
We're doing a show tomorrow.
We are?
Yeah. I just got the call from Rich that it's going so well that you all have to come back to work. We're going to do a third round tomorrow.
I will gladly.
Are you in?
Well, to quote Magic Johnson, I'm not going to be here.
TJ's going to be at WrestleMania tomorrow, so he's got bigger things to do. And I have to be at a four-year-old T-ball game.
I went through that. They stink. Four-year-olds just stink at baseball.
My son does not stink.
Yes, he does.
Everyone on his team. Well, compared to
everyone
on his team.
Every parent thinks their four-year-old's awesome. I assure you he stinks.
I assure you he's the best player in this four-year-old league.
That's like being the tallest short person.
All right, here's the game. It's called What's More Likely. I give two scenarios, and you have to pick which one is more likely to take place. Very simple concept. Rich somehow doesn't understand it some of the times, but I think both are going to happen. No, you have to pick.
I will choose.
You got it, David? Okay.
Not pick.
The big NFL news this week, Stephon Diggs goes from Buffalo to Houston via trade. Who's more likely to win more games in 2024, the Bills or Texans?
Texans. Having nothing to do with Diggs.
Explain yourself.
Because I believe that the Texans are actually a better team than the Bills. And having Diggs there, the only thing I don't like is he's going to want the ball, as we just heard from Tom. So that concerns me. Yeah. But I would actually take Stroud. This is going to be a terrible take.
Over Josh Allen?
I would take Stroud over Allen. And
now,
I love Josh Allen.
In terms of just for next year or the rest of their careers?
No, next year in terms of money. If I had one quarterback at that salary, I want Stroud at his salary versus Allen at his.
He's the best value in the league, right? Or
it's all value to me.
Brock Purdy is also a great value.
I'll take Stroud over Purdy.
In terms of value?
In terms of just both talent and value.
You think Bill? So what are we talking about for Texans wins? 11-ish, something like that?
11-6?
I think that's fair.
I think their over-under will probably be 10, so I will go over.
All right, another part. TJ, you got a thought on that? Bills or Texans next year?
Texans.
Let's move on. J.J. McCarthy is someone that we've been talking a lot about. Obviously, quarterbacks kind of rule the roost in the NFL draft, especially coming up in a couple weeks, maybe all top four NFL draft. But what's more likely, McCarthy goes in the top five or Michael Penix goes in the top 15?
Are we now? I feel like Rich. I was about to say, can we assume no trades? We're going to assume everyone drafts in their slot. How about that? Can we assume that everyone stays in their slot?
Sure.
Then I'm going to go Penix in the top 15.
Okay. Now let's assume trades.
Then I'm going to go Penix in the top 15.
Oh, you think Penix the whole time. You think McCarthy caps out at what, six?
I just don't think we've been talking about 4-4. And getting as many quarterbacks off the board at the top as possible.
Yeah.
It never works out the way you think it's going to work out. In general, the draft, and people start the mock draft 7 to 10 years in advance.
I love mock drafts.
When the kids are like in diapers, I'm in. It generally doesn't work out that way.
Would you draft my four-year-old son right now? Can you promise him?
No, because he stinks.
I don't agree with you. He went into the neighbor's yard the other day. Just saying.
How big is your property?
Not big.
A couple acres.
All right, wide receivers have switched places. TJ, you have a thought on this real quick? You go Penix as well?
You know, I don't know, man, because it seems like people are really starting to fall in love with JJ. Yeah, right. So, if the guy goes,
I know he's handsome, but come on.
The guy goes up to four, I guess I'm not going to be surprised. Like, I don't know. That's the beautiful part about this draft. Love we don't NFL know. Draft. So,
literally, the only thing we know is Caleb's going number one, and that's it. Wide receivers have been on the move this offseason. Wide receiver in a new home to have more touchdowns and yards next year. Calvin Ridley, now in Tennessee. Jerry Jeudy, now in Cleveland. Stephon Diggs, now in Houston.
More yards and touchdowns.
Basically, who's going to have the better year next year?
Well, wait. Is it the better year or is it actual touchdown I'll tell you why I'm asking.
Yards and touchdowns.
So am I adding up yards and touchdowns or do touchdowns come for more than yards? What if a guy has 15 touchdowns but only 700 yards? Isn't that a better year?
Yeah, technically.
So I'm going to say if you're asking for who's going to catch the most touchdown passes.
Let's ask that. Let's do it individually.
Okay. I'm taking Ridley. And the reason I am.
For touchdowns?
Yes. Here's why.
I agree.
I am very concerned about Diggs. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Really?
I know the Texans are all excited, and I just talked about how I think that they're going to be better and win 11 games.
I'm kind of shocked that they just gave him $40 million for next year.
It's a concern to me because of what Tom said, and we've thought that there was an issue that required him to get out of Buffalo. Players who are like that are generally not happy anywhere, and it's a matter of when, not if, they become unhappy in their current place.
Who's the most unhappy player you dealt with in the major leagues in terms of this scenario? Like a Diggs similar situation.
After we traded away the team in 2012, Giancarlo Stanton is the most unhappy I've ever been around a player, except then when we gave him $325 million. Then he said, hey, all right, I'm a little happier.
Understandable.
I think that much money would make me happy too. Unhappy about living in Miami? I mean, come on.
Your son may get that deal.
I think that's a low ball.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
By the time he gets to that point,
that'll be the average salary.
Be about a third of what Cage brought.
What's more likely? Can I do a quick one? What's more likely that I dunk a basketball on a regulation hoop?
Or my son makes the major leagues?
Or your son makes the major leagues?
My son makes the major leagues.
I mean, you've never seen this kid, man. He can golf.
You've never seen my vertical, man.
Yeah, but you're like.
That's a good call.
The guy
ran 7 marathons in 7 days
That's
on 7
true.
Continents. I mean, come
but
on.
You've never seen Cage Brockman rake in the backyard. I'm telling you, my G is special.
Have you?
Yeah, I've seen him. That's my
you
man.
You guys socialize outside the show?
Why wouldn't we?
I couldn't get anyone to return an email or text from you guys.
Well, I
thought we were
I don't know you like that.
Friends.
I don't know you like that.
I was
that
standing
yet.
Outside the forum last night just waiting because I thought you said you're coming to Springsteen and I just stood there in the rain.
Do you know why I didn't go? Because I wanted to prepare for this show. And I needed to make sure I did my work because I care about this show.
Priorities.
You got to prioritize work. I always prioritize work.
The boss.
Over family.
Over the boss.
That's why I'm always alone.
Wow. David. All right, let's talk a little baseball here. What's more likely, Shohei Ohtani wins multiple World Series with the Dodgers or Mike Trout finishes his career with the Angels?
That's a great one.
Ooh.
Ohtani winning multiple World Series with the Dodgers is more likely. Mike Trout is there. That contract and his position with the Angels, he's going to agree to a trade. He's got a no trade clause and 10-5 rights, et cetera, et cetera. He will not finish his career with the Angels.
Why hasn't he asked for a trade before ever? Why hasn't he done it?
So you'd be surprised how many players are happy where they are. They're comfortable where they are and they have loyalty to where they are. And then you'd be surprised how quickly all that erodes as the kids get a little older. And right now, young kids can be around more once kids have their own stuff to do.
Yep.
Players are more apt to not necessarily need to be at home as much because the kids, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. With
not
well,
yet. He's 4.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
So my 28-year-old, for example, I don't need to be around. I could come to L.A. and I could replace Rich at a moment's notice. 25-year-old, don't care. 20-year-old, not at all. I think as the kids get older, so I think Trout, he's not going to make it.
Ends his career with the Phillies?
No.
Even no. I mean, that's where he's from, obviously.
No, yes, of course, and people are wondering
Diehard
why
Eagle
he's
fan.
Not there.
Yeah.
You'd be shocked how little players care to go where they grew up and that they choose teams based on that. They don't. You're not there that often. It's 81 nights. Mike Trout could go to Philly 81 nights a year right now. It doesn't matter. You don't need to play for the Phillies to go home again. Eddie
what
money.
Ballpark has the best food?
I don't eat ballpark food. I had to taste our food every year once. at Marlins
clearly
Park.
You're 130 pounds.
Yes, but that's not relevant. What's relevant is when you work at a ballpark every day, you have to make a commitment. Like I made in college, I lived above Taco Bell and made a commitment I would never go into Taco Bell. Once you go in once, they're not a sponsor, so I'm not going to say how many times I'd go in. Yeah. But I said I'm not going to go in once because then I'd go in a million times.
South of the border. So you think, Ohtani, how many World Series do they have to win for it to be deemed a success, that contract?
One.
One? That's it?
That's it. It's really hard to win a World Series. You need a lot of things to go right, a lot of luck.
Well, we know they haven't won one in, since 1988.
Except for COVID 2020.
Nobody counts
it
that.
It counts.
Oh, I, by the ring, it totally counts.
Nobody
it
counts that.
By nobody, you mean you. I'm not sure what else you mean.
Fans, nobody legitimizes that World Series title. Let's be honest with yourself.
A guy with a ring on his finger is telling you it's legitimate.
It's legit.
All right, what's more likely to be the higher total when it's all said and done? Mets wins come May 1st or Jets wins this season?
Okay, give me a second. We're going to do a little math.
I know, they've won one yesterday. This was much better when they were zero yesterday.
You could have done it with the Marlins. It would have been great because the Marlins are winless.
Well, I know, but Mets and Jets. Mets and Jets, Rich and TJ, those are their teams.
Yeah, I'm a Mets fan.
So it is April, what is the date, April 5th?
April 5th.
There's 25 days left, a few off days. Let's say they have 23 games left.
They got their first win yesterday.
And so I would say the Mets will have more wins by the end of April than the Jets will this year.
Nice.
Because I believe the Jets will finish under double digits in wins.
9-8 tops.
Tops.
The Jets.
That's single digits.
TJ?
You asking me what I feel the top is going to be?
No, come on. What do you got? Mets or Jets?
I'm picking the Mets.
No, you're not. You know they stink. They were getting no hit yesterday and then somehow won at extras.
I don't like baseball.
It's
anymore.
A long game. You got to be very careful with baseball.
I used to love it.
It's 9 innings. Why don't you like it anymore?
Because I'm a Mets fan, David.
You had a. What about the World Series you had?
Yeah, that was
1986.
Greatest team ever, but that was a long time ago, man.
What about Ed Cranepool and.
I wasn't alive for Ed Cranepool.
Ed Cranepool. Rusty's
that's
not a real name.
I don't remember Tom Seaver playing for us.
Tom Seaver was so good. Yeah. So nice, too.
Let him go.
A couple more before we wrap up this award-winning segment of What's More Likely. Two are your favorite people. Let's talk about them. What's more likely? Derek Jeter gets another shot to run an MLB team, or A-Rod buys a professional team anywhere?
Me dunking a basketball.
Come on, you gotta choose.
No, I'm going full Rich. I'll tell you right now, neither of those is going to happen. But if you're making me choose, that's the picture you chose of A-Rod. You did him right. That is just unreal.
David, this is like headline writing. I don't choose
this
the picture.
This is so... No, I'm going to say you chose this picture.
I don't choose these.
I think that A-Rod will buy a professional team, but as a limited partner. And obviously I'm fixing the game now because he already is a limited partner. He already did buy a professional team. So the answer is it's way more likely A-Rod buys a professional team because it's already done.
Except he's not going to be the majority owner.
You didn't say it. It says A-Rod buys a professional team. A-Rod did buy a professional team.
Shown up by the host.
And Jeter will never get another shot. Jeter was the worst MLB executive. He made me a Hall of Fame executive. That's how bad Jeter was.
You got a ring on for being executive.
Yes, that was good. That was good. I also lost 100 games, though.
Yeah, but nobody remembers that.
That was bad. Oh, I remember almost every one of them.
All right, last one. NBA Finals, guys. What's the more likely NBA Finals matchup? Nuggets, Celtics, or anything else?
You always have to take the field because two number ones, it's rare that that happens in any sport. And while I have no road to elimination for either the Nuggets or the Celtics, other than history, where ones don't face each other much. So I'm going to take the field if offered.
TJ?
I'm going to go to the field as well. Because I don't want to see the Celtics in the finals.
I know you don't, but you know it's inevitable.
It kind of looks that way. The Clippers, though, did take out the Nugs last night with Kawhi on the bench.
Great game. So, I mean, the Nuggets got off to that, 400-0 to start the game. And the Clips came all the way back. Great defense in that
great,
one without
great
Kawhi.
Game. I'm with David, though. I'm going to take the field on this one.
All right, boys.
How do you not take the field? I thought that one would be a bigger challenge. I thought you were going to do another set of finals matchups.
Sure.
Next time, I'm going to do the questions, time. And you can answer.
Great. Good luck. Hey, that's What's More Likely. Congratulations, David. You did a great job.
Thank you so much. Do you keep track for accountability purposes?
You know what? People bring that up often in the comments about that we should do kind of a recap on the What's More Likely. Maybe we'll do that for next football season.
It's just accountability. It's important for us with microphones to have accountability.
Really?
For me, it is. And for you in this show, it's one of the pillars of Rich's show.
There's literally no scoreboard in this. Our studio is massive. I'd say we have the biggest studio in the game out of any show ever. And there's no scoreboard here.
You have the coolest memorabilia of any studio I've ever been in.
We have a lot.
And it's outstanding.
We have a lot of stuff.
I'm taking one on the way out.
What are you taking?
I'm taking the signed Goodfellas poster.
There you go. We'll be right back.
Literally.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
You see stuff that's on the walls here when you walk in. There's a Goodfellas poster that I've had for ever.
Really?
Yes.
Where'd you get it?
I got it at a charity auction.
Huh.
You've taken it off the wall.
Yeah, it's not my signature.
What do you mean it's not your signature?
This is not my signature, buddy.
Down there?
You got ripped off.
No, I did not. You're kidding me.
I don't do a frou-frou L like that. And so, I don't cross it.
So that is like not that. Yours, because it's signed by you, De Niro, and Pesci, and I spent at least four figures on this thing.
Get out of here.
Yes.
You're a sucker. I mean, I could sign it for real.
Yeah.
At least I could double it.
Please, do it. Do what you wish. Do you know if that's Pesci's? Do you know if that's Joe's?
No, that's him.
No, I know that's him.
I know.
You sure?
No, we'll take care of it later. Rafi.
Yeah. What do you got?
He's got an axe.
Are you serious?
Do you want the real?
Yeah, sure. But you know, I mean,
it's gonna hurt the.
Okay.
Oh no, it doesn't.
Oh, there's you smacked yourself.
A heart attack. We'll do it later.
Okay.
But that's not me.
Yeah, you just banged yourself. You just cracked the glass. So we could take it out. Smash the glass. I mean, you got at this
no,
point.
It's not glass. Though. It's not really glass.
It's like a plexi.
But we'll do it. We'll fix it.
Okay.
But you got ripped off.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
How are you feeling now, Rich?
Gosh, he's holding onto the X.
All right, so ask me a question.
Oh my gosh. You put the X down. This is fantastic. I don't even know where to go with this because that has been one of my most prized possessions for some time. And you are the real McCoy saying that it's not your signature.
Yeah, no, it's not.
There you go. I initialed it to make it.
Yes, right for Gazy, and then we're done.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. It is David Sampson sitting in, keeping his chair warm, and deciding what piece of memorabilia I will take as my door prize out the door. It's no longer going to be the Goodfellas poster, because that seems like something that may not be real. So now I have to check for authenticity.
Well, we know that Ray Liotta's new signature on it is real because we watched him do it.
Yeah, but it looked like an R and an L. It didn't look like a signature. It looked like his initials. Like he was doing some sort of divorce papers.
Just want to get
Please initial each page at the bottom. WrestleMania. I was in Philadelphia doing a live Nothing Personal show, and I got to look at a huge billboard of WrestleMania. And people were asking me during the show, are you staying for WrestleMania? And I said, no, I have to go to L.A., because I want to go to L.A. and meet you. And then I find out you're going to WrestleMania.
How about that?
Don't you have to leave soon?
Yeah, I'm not leaving till tonight.
That's okay. You should pack soon.
I'm already packed. I'm ready to go. I got the shirts. I'm ready. It's going to be a movie, as they say.
What is the most exciting part of going to WrestleMania for you?
I think just seeing all the people, man. The crowd, the atmosphere, and then, you know, watching some great matches. It's going to be fun.
Will you meet The Rock?
I would like to think so, but I doubt it. But I've met The Rock before, so he's right here, as a matter of fact.
Can you text him?
I could text somebody and say it's The Rock if you want, but it won't be. All right, so what we want to do now, like we always do, David, is WrestleMania XL coming this weekend, Philadelphia, Saturday and Sunday, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. I want to get you ready. I'm going to get you ready and prepared for the greatest spectacle of all time.
Let's go.
So, Jay Felly, hit my music.
What in the world is in that bag? What you got in that bag?
Yes, indeed. Kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room like we always do at this time. Let me get you ready for WrestleMania XL, David. Like I said, the greatest spectacle in the world of professional wrestling. I'm going to dig into the big-ass grab bag. I'm going to give you the top five matches that I'm looking forward to seeing as you hit that double bicep pose. I see you there, big dog. I'm going to give you the top five matches I'm looking forward to seeing this weekend in Philadelphia. Coming in at number five, Cain and Abel started this whole thing. Two brothers going at it. Think about it. I know Jason Feller. I don't know if you have a brother, but if you did, you and him probably would have gotten a scrap. Brockman, yeah, I know true. You have a brother. I know you two have fought before.
He's bigger than me now.
It's what happens. Brother against brother. And we had this in WrestleMania 10 when Owen Hart fought Bret Hart. We had it in WrestleMania 25 when Matt and Jeff Hardy went at it. If you want to get technical, we had it in WrestleMania 14 and 20 when The Undertaker and Kane fought. Yeah. Someone will tell you that they're not, but don't listen to them. They are brothers. This year, we have quite possibly the greatest tag team of all time, the Usos. They broke up. They split up. One guy went to the side of good. The main event, Jey Uso. Yeet. We have his brother Jimmy, who stayed on the bad side with the bloodline. No yeet. Uso versus Uso is going to be a match that hopefully they give enough time should really satisfy all the fans. Jimmy Uso is going to have the crowd going nuts. Well, actually, Jay will have the crowd going nuts. Jimmy is kind of playing that bloodline role. We're going to see how it goes down. I think Jimmy's going to get the win, but you never, ever know. Coming in at number four. We've been waiting a while for this woman to debut. Her name's Jade Cargill, okay? And she is going to be part of a woman's six-woman match with Bianca Belair, the EST, and Naomi. They're going to take on Damage Control, which are the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai. Like I said, David, the world has been waiting for Jade Cargill to make her debut. She debuted at the Royal Rumble. Want to see a little bit more of her. This is going to be her first WrestleMania match. This is going to be big. This is Black Girl Excellence at its finest with her, Bianca, and Naomi. Here's a little thing, Joe J. Felly. I'm looking for one of these women to turn on the other, believe it or not. I think Jade might be the one. I think she might pump kick Bianca, and we're going to set off a nice little nice little rivalry. So that's the fourth match I'm looking forward to. Number three, there is a six-pack challenge for the tag team championships. Raw championships, SmackDown championships, both set of belts hanging up. You're going to see six teams climbing up ladders, got to grab both belts. This is going to be a fun match to see who comes out of this as the tag team champions. I think they're going to split the belts. We're going to get two sets of champs, which will be cool. Coming in at number two, we're going to have Io Sky versus Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship. Great match if they give them time. Please, listen, give these women time to go out and perform. People are going to love this match. Coming in at number one, it's a two-parter. We got The Rock returning. He and Roman Reigns are going to take on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins in night one. The winner of that match gets to make the rules for the next day's match, Brockman, which is the main event. Ooh, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. The biggest match of all time. It's happening on Sunday. Let's go. And that is the matches I'm looking most forward to seeing. But there's, like I said, 2 days worth of great matches. There's so many more. Drew McIntyre, he's a friend of the show, going up against Seth Rollins, who's another guy that we love here for the World Championship. Becky Lynch against your favorite wrestler. Go ahead, tell me your favorite girl right now is Jason Feller.
Rhea Ripley.
That's Jason Feller's favorite. They're going to be going at it for a women's title.
Let's be honest. It's all about The Rock, Roman, Cody.
It's all about Roman, Cody. This is the big deal. The Rock's come back. He is now the final boss. He wants to be the biggest heel in wrestling. The fact is, not everyone's going to boo The Rock. He can't boo The Rock. But is Cody Rhodes going to finish his story? Is Roman going to continue with his record reign? I got to be honest. I don't know what's going to happen, and that's why I'm really looking forward.
Excited. Can I be honest? Someone does know what's going to happen.
Someone does. That person isn't me.
It may not be you, you're maybe one of the only people.
No, there's going to be a stadium full of people who don't know what's going to happen.
DJ, dress warm. Have you seen the weather on the East Coast?
I saw. And that's how big WrestleMania is. Cody Rhodes' bus caught on fire last night, apparently. apparently there was an earthquake over there. This is all The Rock's doing, by the way. He's like changing climate over there in the WWE. But it's great to have him back. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait to get the report on whether or not it happened exactly as you projected.
I'll be texting you during the card.
I mean, we're not that close.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast-scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.